blessing from on high. Take your Bible, if you will. Let me get this button here pushed and turned on. How's that? Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking tonight over there in the New Testament. In the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter number 1. You find the place you're able to stand. We'll look there in Mark, chapter number 1. It's been a good day all the way around. I hope and trust that you got a little nap. We got a little shower. I'm like Brother David when I were talking. I'm like him. I'm glad that we're getting a few of these showers alone. It greens stuff up instead of having burning bands. We've at least got a little greenery to look at, and it makes it a little cooler in between it. All right, Mark chapter number 1, verse number 14. Now, after that John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets, and they followed him. And when they had gone a little farther thence, and saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and they went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day they entered into a synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as one of the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this, and what new doctrine is this? For with what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits? And they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions round about. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and how we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil, every demon aside, and we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach an old sermon that I've been preaching for years, and I entitled it, The Preacher of All Preachers. And let me tell you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the preacher of all preachers. I don't care where you've been, who you found, who you know, and all of that. There's not anybody that'll ever top the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect preacher. Make no mistake about it. When you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you're going to find out is that the Lord knows who we are, knows where to place us and all of that. Do you know we're sitting here tonight, and sometimes you may lose sight of this, but here we are sitting here tonight. You've got enough money in your pocket. You've got enough talent to be able to make a living anywhere you wanted to go. You could go anywhere you wanted to go and do anything you wanted to be and do anything you wanted to do, but you make a difference right here. That's why God put us together like that. As you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and know that God is in charge. And I'll tell you, is that when Jesus would get through preaching, there's occasion over in John chapter number 7 and verse 46, they said, never spake a man like this. I'm going to tell you, Jesus was the most unusual speaker that you'll ever hear in your heart and your life. In this lesson here, you're going to find out is that whenever I begin to read the Bible, I begin to think about how that the Lord Jesus Christ has never done anything but what was right. Do you realize to know that when Jesus was preaching, he always had the right message? There's been a time or two in all these years that I've been preaching is that I'd look around and I'd go to thinking, huh, that must not have been the right message. Jesus never missed a lick, friend. Let me say to you that, if you will, that the world's always looking for a different outcome, but you'll find there's many times that when the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect preacher, when he got done preaching, they all of them grabbed up stones to throw at him and stone him to death. They didn't just people fly. I've heard people say, you know, if Jesus was in here like he was there, the people would come to the altars and weeping and they'd get... No, that's emotion you're talking about. is that if the Lord Jesus Christ grabs hold of your heart, grants you repentance and faith, there might be a tear shed on your part, but there'll be a changed life that'll be taking place in you by the Spirit of God upon you. But let me say that every time that Jesus spoke, he didn't get that kind of reception. There was many times they picked up stones to throw at him and to cast him headlong down the hill. And yet you see that he went through the midst of them and he escaped all of them. I begin to think about the reason why that you and I understand or sometimes don't understand is that we just don't know who we're talking about when we talk about the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus always had the right message. He'd walk by those men there, and we've read about them, and as he walked by there and said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men," straightway they'd leave their nets. Straightway they'd leave their family. But you know, in the day and hour we're living in, we're worried more about friends or family or jobs or this or that or just anything but just simply the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find is that there's been many times, you know, when anybody, me and the wife and the kids, and, you know, it would be slim picking. And I'm sort of like that preacher, you know, he showed up at a church, and as a result of it, they always didn't have an offering plate. They always used somebody's hat, and they'd pass it among there, and they'd give a free will offering to the guest speaker. And so anyhow, the old preacher, grabbed his hat and barred it, and they run it through everybody. Finally brought it back up where he was sitting down there, and as a result of it, they handed him his hat. And as he looked in it, it didn't have one thing in it. And he held it to his chest, and he said, "Oh, Lord, thank you that I even got my hat back from these people." I mean, that's bad when you can't even trust them with your hat. I want to say to you, there's been many a time that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he'd walk through the midst of them and go out to the other side, and certainly by the hand of God and the will of his Father, he had survived them. I want to tell you something, is that when you begin to look into this, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Bible said over in John chapter 2 that he already knows what's in man. He didn't submit himself to some of them because he already knows what's in man. And let me say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into it, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what's in our heart tonight. I want to tell you right now, I'm supposing everybody here is pretty much in fellowship with God. I'm supposing here that everybody here pretty much knows the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Maybe one of these kids or so that doesn't yet know him. But let me just say to you that, if you will, that's going to be God's business. Our business is to be faithful to the Lord and to preach the gospel message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was thinking about, you know, and I say this every now and again, if I don't ought to, if you'd rather be somewhere else tonight than you had to be here, then you're doing somebody somewhere an injustice. See, if you're not where God wanted you to be and doing what God wants you to do, you're doing somebody a disservice. I got to say to you that, if you will, that you'd be doing us a disservice. And let me say to you, as a result of that, you begin to notice the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows what's in man's heart. In fact is, he had the Spirit given unto him without measure. You and I are just praying for the anointing of God and the touch of God. But Jesus had it, buddy, without measure. He knew you inside and out. He knows me inside and out. He knows our heart. He knows exactly who we are. Let me tell you, I can't even read the faces of our hearers, and yet he knows what's in our hearts. See that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he always had the right message, and always he had the revealing message. He can reveal exactly what's wrong with anybody up and down the road of life. He's the most powerful preacher that you and I'll ever read about. He spoke with authority. Do you remember reading that just now? You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were like the average deadhead. They'd just read this and read that in monotone voice. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke with authority, friend. In fact, he'd lift his voice like a trumpet. And some thought he was John the Baptist. Some thought he might be Jeremiah. Some thought he was one of the prophets. I got to say to you that, if you will, that he was a powerful preacher. And let me tell you right now, he always had a revealing message. You know, years ago, whenever I was but a lad, my dad and I used to cut firewood with a double-bitted axe. And if you don't know what a double-bitted axe, that's an axe that's got a cutting edge on two sides of it. And as a result of that, we'd cut it by hand, cut it up by hand, split it by hand. I remember as though it were yesterday that my dad said to me, "Now, son, see that piece of wood right there, how twisted and gnarled that it is? If you try to split that, it won't hardly split. And the reason it won't split is because it's got all those twists in it. And now see this one, it's good and straight. You can hit it and bust it right open, hit it again, get four pieces out of it pretty quick because it's got good straight grain in it." And I want to say to you that when you begin to look into that, I remember that it stuck with me. And let me tell you right now is the Lord Jesus Christ is that He is the most powerful preacher. And whenever He hits a lick, He knows exactly how to hit you, where to hit you, and to split you open. And some of us, it took a few more licks to get us busted open than it did others. But boy, when you get that wood loaded up and carried in and get it set on fire, that twisted stuff burns just as good as the straight stuff does. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God saved me and called me into the family of God and to be one of His own and to deliver His message. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that He's a persuasive preacher. If God doesn't persuade you, it won't matter who else did. Because let me tell you right now, He's in the business of getting your heart tender, showing you yourselves like He sees you, drawing you by His Spirit. And whenever God does that, He persuades you to come unto Him and to be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Let me tell you something, He's the perfect preacher. I remember reading over there whenever the Heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." The Bible said in Proverbs 8, daily He was His Father's delight. The Bible said in St. John chapter 8 and about verse number 29, He always pleased the Father. Now I got to tell you, He lives in my heart. If you're saved tonight, He lives in your heart. And let me say to you that whenever you got saved by the grace of God, you're going to find out is that you'll always be able to please the Heavenly Father because of He that lives inside you, and greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. I got to thinking about, whenever you're looking at it, there have been many of those that tried to catch Him in His words. I mean, the other night we saw a debate between two old men. And one old man, naturally, his cognitive ability is greater than the other ones. And as a result of that, you know, I would feel sorry for Mr. Biden if he hadn't have been for over 50 years such a sorry, good-for-nothing lowlife. But he's a liar and a cheater and a conniver. I have no sympathy whatsoever for him. In this lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you, is that there have been those that have always tried to catch the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word and trying to get Him tripped up, but none could catch Him. I got to say to you, He's the perfect preacher and His Word will stand all by itself. There's a friend of mine, I call him a friend, and I never did know him, never did meet him personally, but I've got much of his materials and all that business there. And he died when he was 90-something years old. I mean, he was he's the kind of man that could read a 400-page book and beat a champion chess player and tell you 85 to 90% of what he read in the book after he got done. He had a mind like a steel trowel. They say his mannerisms were the worst in the world. I mean, you'd be sitting at a table there and all of a sudden he may come in, sit down with a cup of coffee and slosh it all over you and everybody on the other side of the table and all that business there. But boy, let me tell you, he left a legacy behind him. I got to tell you right now, as good as he may have been, he's never going to be able to compare to the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. In this lesson you're looking at, Jesus Christ not only was the perfect preacher, he was always ready. You know, sometimes I come to the house of God and I'm not ready. In fact, sometimes I get up and I don't feel ready to go. And sometimes I know I'm going to have to go anyhow, so you might as well like it, lump it, love it, or leave it. But you've got to find out that that's just a spirit's will and the flesh is weak. But the Lord Jesus Christ, buddy, was always ready. It didn't matter if he was down at the temple where they hated him. It didn't make any difference if he was at a synagogue. That's where we've read about tonight. He already knew before he ever got there that man with that unclean spirit was going to be screaming out and disrupting the service and saying, "Let us alone." That's the reason why people come, get under conviction, leave, and never come back. They don't want the Spirit of God messing with their heart. And as a result of that, this man here that was that way, Jesus preached in a synagogue, preached in a ship, preached in somebody's home, preached in a palace somewhere, preached on a hillside. And I'm going to tell you something. He sat down one time and waited for a woman to show up at a well. Remember that? I want to say to you tonight that as we go, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ was ready at any given point in time. He was greatly opposed, and yet you'll find that he was ready in a flash and a moment to be able to preach the blessed word of the Lord to those that came to listen to him. Not all of them believed him. Many of them did not. But let me tell you, the message here was the message of repent and believe the gospel. You know what keeps people from believing the gospel? No repentance. That's the same message John the Baptist. He said to that bunch of Pharisees and that religious crowd, he says, and John the Baptist, and after you had seen the converts and seen the change in their life, you did not repent that you might believe the gospel. And as a result, you'll find is that the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he was preaching, there was always ready somebody somewhere that was going to get either converted or just disturbed and want to chunk rocks at him. He was always a ready preacher. I was thinking about in this lesson that's here, you'll find is that days gone by, and some of you have probably crossed your mind and said, "Well, I'm not going to church anymore where there's a problem." Well, you might as well quit now and go ahead and find something else to do. If you keep living right, walking right, talking right, spitting white, there's going to be trouble arise sooner or later. It's either with your family, it's going to be with your own house. There's no trouble worse than church trouble unless it's your own spousal or family trouble. That's the worst trouble there is. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that the Lord Jesus Christ was a ready preacher. I can tell you, if I knew there was going to be a knockdown drag out, be honest with you, I'm not ready to show up for that. But I have to show up. I have to show up. When I told you years ago, the buck stops right here. Let me tell you right now is, and I'm not talking about the Hartford buck either. I'm not talking about the lying, cheating, conniving bunch of AARP that wants to try to get money out of me in my golden years. You know, they don't save me. Now, if that's one of your big things, sorry, I'm sorry I even said anything. Just keep right on doing it, see? But let me tell you right now, I've not seen anything. And did you notice? I noticed at my doctor's office, by the way, some of you that are getting old enough to, well, you're a long way from being old. Some of you on the front row might be old enough to go to collecting Social Security one of these days. But when you look up there on the wall, it says we're not taking any more AARP. We're not taking any more United this or that. We're not taking, you know the reason being? I'll tell you why, because they don't pay. Listen, when it comes time for you to be able to get something or another like that, here's how you find out what's good and what's not. Call the doctor's office and ask them. Whoever's paying, that's who you want to be able to get with. Let me say to you in closing that if you will tonight, is that one of these days that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to preach the last sermon that he's going to preach to you and I. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be a message that removes us from off the face of this earth. I don't know exactly what he's going to say. Come up hither. That's what I think he's going to say. And let me say to you that whenever the Lord does say that, we're going to be going out of here, so be you know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. In this lesson tonight, you're going to find out Jesus was a man of tears. He is a man of truth. And boy, I want to tell you, he had a tough message, and make no mistake about it, is that one of these days he is going to call for us to be able to go to the other side. Now, I'm looking with great anticipation for that. And you know, every time I go to thinking about it, it makes me want to pray, get a little closer to the altar, and beg God that I not be found wanting, that I can get a crown, that I can throw at the foot of Jesus and be able to show that he's worthy. I got to say to you is that you'll find that one of these days is that we're going to be gone. I don't know if you've ever sat by the bedside of somebody passing to the other side, but I have on more than one occasion. It's never a pleasant task. It's never a pleasant matter. And to be with people that are hurting and people that are certainly going to be left behind like we are now. But I want to tell you right up front is that one of these days God's going to remove us and we'll be going to the other side. I was thinking about in closing an old illustration that I read and picked up somewhere about a soldier boy that was dying on the battlefield. And as he lay out there, the guys, this is a true story, by the way, and as a result of that, he said that he was in the army, in the military, and they were in hot action. And one of his friends, his comrades, got wounded real bad. He's a paramedic, this guy is, and he takes on off out there, and he's seen this one man that was staying there and gasping and bleeding and all of that, and he said, "Now, I'll be right back with you in a minute. I've got another man over here that I've got to go see something about." And he said, "Huh?" And he said, "I've got to go out here and see somebody that's worse shape than you're in. I'll be right back." And he went out there to that man, and he began to look at him, and he dealt with him. And as a result of that, he said to the man, as he cried out, he came back, and he said, "I told you, in a few minutes, I'll be back with you." And he said, sir? And he said, I'll be right back with you. There's another man in worse shape than you are." He said, I thought they were calling the roll in heaven. And I wanted to make sure they knew I was still here." And he said, when he went back to the other man, in a few minutes he heard that guy with every fiber of his being cry out, "Here!" And he was gone. I'm going to tell you something, is that I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I've seen people, you know, that absolutely were terrified about meeting their maker. Now, mind you, we're always saying, I'm not trying to go on the next busload. I'm not either. And it's natural and normal for us to try to live as long as we possibly can. And let me say to you that, if you will, but there's going to come a time when God's going to say, "Come up hither." And I'll tell you, it's going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. We won't have time to answer. We'll be gone. We'll be gone. This whole wicked world that's been wanting to get rid of us, they're going to miss us, but they don't know why, and they don't even care. I want to say in closing tonight, it's all because the perfect preacher has a perfect plan and a perfect salvation. I'm not working on the buddy plan with him. I'm glad to know that I'm his and he's mine because he called me into the family of God. I wonder tonight, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, Lord, as we get ready. Side now. Maybe somebody tonight does not know you in the free pardon of sin. May you trouble their heart while their head's upon their pillow tonight, and may they find no peace till they find peace with thee. Now go with us to our home. Bless these other requests that have been mentioned in Jesus' name.